This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey there, good morning and welcome. It's time for Ringgit and Cents. And I'm David Chiu together with...
Julian Ng.
Hi, Julian. Today, you know what? We're going to go over our financial bucket lists, right? Now, bucket lists, some of you may not know this, but bucket lists tend to be associated with personal goals and milestones that you want to tick off your list. And I suppose it shouldn't be any different when it comes to personal finance as well.
Well, there's a slightly different twist to this. It's more of preparing for the inevitable, like when you kick the bucket. So it should be a checklist of things that you would like to be in order once you are no more, once you are in the beyond.
Well, I suppose, yeah, that would be quite personal, isn't it? A lot of all these things, isn't it?
It would differ from one person to another, depending on their personal circumstances. But there are certain touchstones that every financial bucket list should have. Azura Rahman spoke to Lee Man Wai and Joyce Chua of Success Concepts on this topic.
When it comes to bucket lists in general, people normally talk about, you know, visiting Machu Picchu or whatever it is. But one of the abstract things that they do include is sorting out my finances. And I guess this would fall under that point in the general bucket list. Would you agree, Joyce?
Yes, having a will gives you an opportunity to state your last wishes. And one must always remember that a will answers the issue of inheritance. Mm. It does not answer the issue of cash flow.
Right.
Because it still takes about 6, 9, 12 months for a will to be executed.
And this is a case where someone actually writes a will. So if someone who doesn't write one, it'll take...
Even longer.
4 or 5 years even, if I've been told, if you die intestate.
Depends on the size of the estate, because you need two guarantors in the equal value of the estate.
Now, moving to the bucket list, the financial bucket list in general, though, you know, obviously for every person, it will be quite a personal list of sorts. How do you tailor it to your own personal circumstances? Do you have a starting point?
Yes, one of the things that we look at is how many dependents does one have, and also definitely the size of the estate, whether the person would like to distribute it to the beneficiaries all at once or in stages. If it's in stages, then we probably need a trustee to be involved so that the estate is managed throughout a certain period of time. So we start with the size of the estate. We start with number and types of beneficiaries. They could be minors. They could even be pets.
I think it's also important that you have asset inventory. A lot of people, when they pass away, it's only themselves that know what they've invested in, what they have, what assets they have. And the surviving members sometimes haven't a clue what they have. So it's very important to just list it out. You know, if you have got investments in some obscure scheme, list it out, because there's no way for your survivors to know that.
And that could include personal effects as well, like your watches or jewellery, that kind of thing. I mean, that's something that people tend to kind of argue over once somebody passes away as well. Would you tend to agree with that?
Yeah, correct. Because sometimes you may not keep jewellery and all that with you.
Right.
You may not even be in the house.
Right.
You may put it into a safe deposit box, which no one knows about.
So having an asset inventory would be helpful in this scenario.
Very.
Now, how long should that bucket list be?
It can be as short or as long as you like it. I think the basics would have to be, you need a will, you need an asset inventory, you need to look at whether you have got sufficient liquidity to cover any debts that you have. I think those are probably off the cuff, probably the three basic things that you need to look at. Anything to add, Joyce?
I think a person should also remember to be as specific as possible, because when it is vague, then that's when you create contestability. We don't want a situation after one has passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
So certainty is very important in that sense when it comes to naming your beneficiaries in your financial bucket list.
Yes. And also naming the asset that's involved, plus where it is located.
Right.
You know, if it's a movable, then state it in your will. Where is it located? Where is it being kept?
Right. Now let's look through some of the potential items that you could have on your bucket list. What would you start off with then?
Everybody has an EPF. I think the most important thing is to make sure that your EPF nominations are and insurance nominations are updated.
It could be any of an ex-girlfriend in some cases or an ex-wife. Or
it has happened before. And just remember that your will does not override your EPF and your insurance nominations.
Okay, they in other words, whoever is named on that EPF form will actually be the beneficiary regardless of what is being said on in the will.
That's right, yes.
That also applies to your insurance policies.
Right.
But I would advise that even if you have done your nominations in EPF and insurance, you know, it would be good to just state it again, you know, in your will. But make sure that the beneficiaries are the same as what you have done in your EPF and insurance, because we don't want to create contestabilities. Just this is so that because in case there is a system, you know, who knows, maybe the something, you know, there is something missing in the system, then, you know, it's still stated. Right. Yeah, it's a backup. Thank you.
Again, certainty is key here.
Yes.
What about insurance then? What do you what's your view on insurance when it comes to preparing your financial bucket list?
Well, insurance is the only thing that can give you an instant estate, meaning that as soon as you buy your policy, you're covered to, say, however much you insure yourself. Say, for example, if you have insured yourself for $500,000, you straight away have $500,000 available to you if something happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming that you've paid your premiums and all that.
Right.
You don't want a situation where when an asset is bequeathed to a loved one and then a loved one doesn't have the liquidity even to pay the installments, then you will find that you're actually giving them debts and a burden rather than, you know, just an asset which was just meant to help them after you've passed on.
So again, liquidity is key for when it comes to insurance. I mean, that will provide the liquidity that is needed.
Yes, and that is definitely going to help your beneficiary to go through the process before the probate is given, because the bank loans and the interest and the installments still continue on, you know, and some banks may not want to like freeze interest rates during the probate process. So that's going to be quite a financial burden.
Right. Now, having a will done up is actually, I suppose, something that's key. We've mentioned this earlier on. I guess choosing the right executor would be quite crucial as well in this case.
Yes. A lot of people are uncertain what an executor does. An executor is the most important person in a will, where he administers the will, he gets the grant of probate, he actually he does the whole inventory and he's accountable, and he's prepared, he's asked to do statement of accounts, you know, on the estate. So it is important, and preferably the executor needs to be also someone on your bucket list who is going to be bequeathed an asset, so that it's an interest in doing that.
There's an incentive in doing that, because it's a very taxing job to do.
It is, but you can always hire a lawyer to help you, and that's why it's you know, a lot of executives today work with lawyers to do this.
Right.
However, there's still time needed for him to do the running.
Again, then you should provide or make a provision for funds in actually appointing a lawyer to take care of it in that sense then.
That's right.
Right.
Because in a will, usually, you know, you would have given powers to the executors to appoint other people or other parties that can actually assist in hastening the process of the probate.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a provision in the will, or rather the estate distribution, an executor can be paid out of the estate a certain sum for his role.
Is it necessary for you to name a backup for the executors if the executor would actually pass away, for example, or is unable to dispense of his or her duties?
Definitely.
Right.
That would always be preferable.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And the executor needs to be someone in Malaysia, reachable, not someone who's always in so difficult to actually contact and have his signatures. Right. Yeah.
So that's a practical consideration to think of when choosing an executor. I'm speaking to Lee Man Wai and Joyce Chua of Success Concepts, and we are talking about preparing a financial bucket list. When we come back, we'll be talking about whether you are bequeathing an asset or a liability on Ringgit & Sense. It's Azura Rahman on Ringgit & Sense, and here with me, I have Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai from Success Concepts, and we are talking about preparing a bucket list of the financial kind. Now, when it comes to making provisions for children, what about that? Is there something that you should actually bear in mind if you have young children, for example?
Well, families would definitely like to, you know, bequeath something for their children, especially, I've seen a lot of women, they rather bequeath their assets to their children than to their husbands.
Right.
Not the other way around.
The other thing is, if you've got minors as well, it's also important that you figure out who the guardians for the minors are.
Right. Because if they are minors, they have no legal standing. How does it work?
Well, they can't transact things on their own. They will need a guardian.
Right.
Okay, to be in charge of their finances.
Right. And that guardian, can it be the executor as well at the same time?
Yes, the person can be, but I think it would be better to, have a separate person doing that particular role. Mm-hmm. It would be better. I mean, there's no... you can name the guardian as an executor and vice versa, but, have separate roles for executors and trustees and guardians.
Right.
Yeah. And with regards to minor children, I've also seen wills where they bequeath the asset, say for example a $5 million house or property to to their children, and something happens before the children or when the children are say 18 years old of majority age. I have situations where they found that the child is then bequeathed with a $5 million property.
Right.
And there was a situation that the child wanted to
dispose
of the property, and the other parent was not involved in the bequeath process, and he was worried whether how would the child manage a $5 million liquidity suddenly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At that age,
the financial maturity.
Yes, right. So lack of financial maturity. So what would be better when you bequeath something to a child is to have a testamentary trust in the will, where you state conditions that the child can only sell the property when he's gainfully employed or when he's properly married off or whatever conditions that you've set.
Can you say that they can only use the proceeds of the sale for certain things, like to fund their education, for example? Is that a possibility?
Yes, that's right. But I think also that's quite hard to manage, because the moment you actually dispose of the property, who's really going to check what he's going to do with the funds?
Right, right.
But it's more so to do with that asset. When are you going to liquidate it? And when you set a condition to it, that becomes a very good check and balance.
No, it's not all black and white, isn't it, Joyce and Manwai, when it comes to preparing this financial bucket list? You have to also think of the emotional aspects of things. I mean, if you were to bequeath property to someone or asset to someone, to two different persons, and they don't get along, that's a bit of a social concern too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It can be. So sometimes instead of bequeathing the property outright to two individuals that you know don't get along, you may actually put a provision that the property is to be sold.
Right.
And the proceeds from the sales will be distributed to these two individuals.
Right, okay.
That would be a cleaner way to do it.
Now, another thing is, when it comes to bequeathing property, some people are unaware of the fact that when you bequeath assets, they could actually become liabilities. In the sense that, you know, when you have creditors knocking on your door, or if you don't have the money to pay the installments, for example, you know, what you think is actually an asset that you're giving to your mother could actually be a burden. Do you see that happening?
Yes, it's happened many times. Especially when one has not really gone through their estate liquidity analysis, and i.e. they do not have enough liquidity to take care of their debts. So my advice is that, you know, look at your liabilities. Do you have enough liquidity, liquid assets to cover this should anything happen to you today? If not, then get a really low premium, high coverage insurance, like term insurance, to just cover your debts and the mortgages, you know, because the beneficiary will definitely be suffering,
right,
should she not be financially well off.
The thing is, it's quite easy to get, I suppose, insurance for things like, you know, property, you know, to make sure that it covers the actual value of the property, for example. But what about credit card debts then, Joyce? I mean, that might change and fluctuate from time to time. How do you make sure, you know, those debts are covered as well?
You basically take up a life policy. So you're not covering your credit card debt or your housing debt directly.
Right.
Okay. You are just taking a policy on your own life. So if you say you feel that you've got credit card debts amounting to 50,000, okay, give yourself a safety factor.
Right, a buffer.
A buffer. You may want to say, okay, I'll give myself a 50% buffer or 100% buffer. So instead of taking out 50,000, you just take out a life policy of 100,000.
Right.
So if anything happens, that 100,000 you can use to settle your debt.
Now, the interesting thing is that when you prepare a financial bucket list, I think basically people do this in the mind of, they want to sort their debts, they want to make sure that they leave something for people that they leave behind. What actually happens to debts when you pass away? do they just disappear into the ether as one would hope? But I, but one would hope, but it does not happen in real life.
It certainly doesn't happen.
Banks certainly do not write off your debts just because one has passed on. Yeah, The debts are also passed on to the beneficiaries.
Right.
But you know, it's creditors and the IRB. So that has all to be settled, and the rest of the creditors. Everything has to be settled before it is even distributed. So you need to have, like Manwai said, an insurance to cover the debt so that you know when it's distributed, it's clean. You know, it's unencumbered.
Actually, on that matter as well, there's some people that don't even submit their income tax returns, and they haven't done it for many, many years.
Right.
So that's maybe one of the things that you want on your financial bucket list. You know, you do something about your income tax.
Right.
If you haven't been submitting regularly, start looking at it.
In other words, if you're not paying it, someone else will have to pay it for you.
Definitely.
Yes, and nothing's left. You know, it should the estate be too small and then the debts and taxes are too much, nothing's left for the beneficiaries and you know, your wishes will not be fulfilled.
Is it possible for creditors to actually come after your own personal estate as a beneficiary?
Definitely, because unless the estate is assigned to a trust declaration or a trust agreement, that is why some high net worth individuals and or business people they create a trust agreement for over their estate so that it is not subject to creditors.
Right.
So any assets that are not assigned to a trust is open to claims by debtors.
Now, one more interesting thing on the financial bucket list that people tend to want to tick off is planning your own funeral. For some people, that can be a very costly affair. So you should make provision for it then.
It's sometimes very sensitive. People sort of don't like talking about it. But we've joked about this often that, you know, death and taxes are the only certainty in life. And if it's the only certainty, we certainly need to look at this aspect of life. And my aunt passed away just recently, and she donated her body to the Silent Mentor program, which is actually using the body for medical research. And when you do that, not only does it benefit others, but it covers all your funeral expenses.
Right, right.
So there are ways to sort of cut down on what it will cost to have a funeral.
Right.
And sometimes people spend huge amounts of money.
Crazy amounts of money
on a funeral.
Right.
And if you're able to afford it, well and good. But if you're not, there are things that you can do to mitigate some of the expenses.
Donating your body to science. What more a noble way of leaving the world in that sense.
And save money at the same time.
Just to round things off then, Joyce and Manwai, like any regular bucket list, is there a timeline to this? Obviously, you want to have it complete before you pass away, but unfortunately, we can't tell when that will happen. When should you get it completed then?
Now.
ASAP.
Right. Now. And have it reviewed every year. Choose a date that you're comfortable with. It can be your birthday, your anniversary date, the day you met your boyfriend, your husband, you know, choose a date, or Merdeka, you know, Hari Merdeka, and have that date do the review the list, you know, and review your even personal financial statements.
I know people that haven't looked at their wills for over a decade.
Right.
And in that decade, they've had grandchildren, they've had maybe even different in-laws coming into the picture.
And different assets leaving and coming to the picture at the same time as well.
Right.
So get that big item of your main bucket list ticked off, which is sort out your finances by preparing your financial bucket list. And those are some of the pointers given by Lee Manwai and Joyce Chua of Success Concepts. If you missed any bits of this interview at all, of course, don't forget to download our podcast from www.bfm.my.
You know what, Julian? There was quite a rather morbid bucket list over there, but I suppose it's necessary nonetheless.
Yeah, you're right. I imagine that most people would have it in their regular bucket list anyway, something like sort out finances. So this takes financial bucket list as a subset of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that brings us to the end of this show, and that's it for Ringgit and Sense this week. Join me and Julian again next week at the same time, every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. right after the news. Tomorrow, we'll have the property show together with the lovely Azura Rahman as well. Make sure you join us for that one.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.